Hello, Line Cook Nation. This is Ray DeLucci with the Line Cook Thoughts Podcast. Hope everyone is doing well and staying safe. Welcome back to another episode and Happy New Year. 2024 is here, and I hope this year is full of growth, of success, and just it's a year that you all excel in and just really enjoy and find a lot of happiness in. Always exciting to have a new year come around, and I'm excited for the podcast. I'm excited for Line Cook Thoughts as a whole, and excited for you all, and I hope you keep up to date with me and keep me informed as to how the new year's going. I know after Christmas and New Year's Eve, a lot of you are probably relaxing, hopefully, or at least getting some rest, and so I think we have a very good podcast for you to listen to today. Before we begin, just a friendly reminder that every Monday I put out the Line Cook Thoughts newsletter called Prep List Items. You can go to linecookthoughts.com, put in your email, and hit subscribe. It's at the top of the page, and you'll get a newsletter every week. This week, you know, sharing a blog that I really enjoy reading every New Year's, a new product launched by Samsung about an AI fridge that gives recipes based on what is in the fridge, and another story you can find if you were subscribed to the newsletter. So check that out and go to linecookthoughts.com to subscribe. Also, if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please leave a review. Lets me get some traction, lets me know how you like the show, and lets other people know that this podcast is worth listening to. So make sure you leave a review. My guest today is someone who I've been in talks to record with for a while, so I'm happy he's on the show. It is Michael Penny. He is the founder of Brooklyn Pasta Lab, which was established in 2017, and Michael has been a chef in New York City for over a decade. Michael has worked in New York City's top restaurants, including 11 Madison Park, the Nomad Hotel, Bettany, as well as the famous Bruno e Franco, La Salumeria in Bologna, Italy. Brooklyn Pasta Lab produces premium fresh pasta for top restaurants in New York City, saving chefs time and money so they can focus on running their kitchens more efficiently. I'll have a link in the description of the episode of his website, but you can go to visit www.brooklynpastalab.com. You can visit that page. That's www.brooklynpastalab.com to check out his page. In this, we talk about how Michael kind of got into creating his own company. I really find it fascinating when people go from restaurants to basically another venture. And his whole business has been into now shaping into a business where he makes fresh pasta for restaurants in New York City. It's very interesting to see that wholesale side of things. And it's very, I just found it very informative to see how he's grown his business and gotten more and more restaurant clients in the New York City area. So if you're in New York, please check him out. And just want to say thanks to Michael for coming on the show and for recording the podcast with me in the holiday season. And I'm glad we got to put it up. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for Michael for being a great guest. Hope you all listen to, or hope you get a lot from listening to the podcast. And I hope you check out Brooklyn Pasta Lab. Here we go.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Awesome. Cool. Well, welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to start out by introducing yourself, that'd be great.
Yeah, thank you. So my name is Michael Pini. I'm Italian American, born in Brooklyn, New York, raised out on Long Island. I've been in restaurants for 15 years, I'd say, by now. And I own a company called Brooklyn Pasta Lab, where we supply fresh pasta for restaurants in Brooklyn and Manhattan. Kind of started that during the pandemic and kind of took it off from there. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're definitely going to get into Brooklyn Pasta Lab. But share with me kind of for you, food-wise, how did you get into the industry? What's your background in that sense?
Yeah. So like I said, my parents, they were from Italy. They came, my mom came when she was 5. My dad came when he was about 20, 21. Both came to Brooklyn, met, had me. and then, like I said, I was born in Brooklyn. And when I was like three or four, moved out to Long Island. And kind of grew up there. And luckily, the school that I was in, the high school, they had this program where basically the last 2 years of high school, you could choose to either go to this like vocational school where they had, you know, cooking, carpentry, photography, a bunch of different like professions that you can choose. And basically I chose to do cooking, and half the day I would go to the school, and the other half of the day I would just be in high school and do like the basic classes. So that's where I would say I really started like, you know, taking it serious. But I always was cooking with my mom in the kitchen, my grandmother. Nice. We always cooked all the time. You know, like the classic Italian home cooked meals.
Similar start. I also went to vocational school in New York State. Buffalo, but did the 2 years and whatnot. So yeah, definitely close beginnings for us there.
Yeah. I was doing that, and right when I started, it was like junior year, right when I started the first year of the cooking school, I actually started working in this restaurant kind of nearby my hometown. And it was like an Italian restaurant, very like kind of cheesy, you know, old school Italian stuff. One of the chefs that I was in school with, he like recommended, he's like, oh, why don't you just do like a little internship thing there? And literally like the first day, my mom dropped me off. I was like 14. My mom dropped me off after school, did the service, just like helped out, whatever. And then when she picked me back up, she was like, oh, there's this restaurant in Brooklyn that one of my dad's friends is like friends with the owner, and they also happen to have like a Michelin star. And I was like, she was like, oh, why don't you go check it out? And it was literally like the night she picked me up from the first shift at this restaurant. So then I'd say a couple weekends later, I went out with my dad and his friend, and they kind of like introduced me to the chef. And the restaurant was called Dressler. It was in Brooklyn. It's closed now. But it was actually one of like the first Michelin star restaurants in Brooklyn. They had one Michelin star. And it's like right across the street from Peter Luger's. So they both had their Michelin star. Basically I sort of just had a little tasting menu there with my dad and my dad's friend, and he introduced me to the chef, and then kind of just spoke to him for a little bit, and then set up like a little, you know, internship on the weekends. Like on Saturdays I would go there and just work like a prep shift. And that was really when I, you know, got my first taste into like a legit kitchen, you know what I mean?
Definitely. And I know, from there, looking at your background on your website, mentioning you worked at 11 Madison Park, Nomad Hotel, Bettany, and then Bruno E. Franco in Bologna, Italy. So, so pretty extensive experiences. We don't have to go through all of them because I definitely want to get to your company, but are there any highlights or anything you took away from your more fine dining experience that you've had in your career?
Yeah, so I guess for me, like I was saying, that first restaurant, Dressler, that was like pretty fine dining, like kind of like romantic restaurant, really dark, kind of like French-ish food, but with like this like new America. It was around that time when that like new American was like starting to like come up and stuff. There was that, and then like you were saying, I worked at a couple other places in Brooklyn, and then Bettany, which was like my first real like fine dining like kitchen, and that was crazy. Like it was like you know, crazy hours. We were doing everything, all the way from, you know, setting up the kitchen in the morning to like literally cleaning the hoods, all the way to like 2 a.m. and those days were like pretty crazy. And I'd say after Bethany, I kind of wanted to still stay in a nice restaurant, but kind of take it easy a little bit. So then I went to the Nomad, which was like a really perfect, you know, balance between like that fine dining and like really busy restaurant. But still being like, you know, a good culture, mm-hmm. and you weren't getting like yelled at like 24/7. And then from the Nomad, I actually went to, I got this grant, this mentor. I don't know if you know much about it. It's like the mentor BKB. Mm-hmm. They did like this grant.
A grant guys like go overseas and train in other kitchens, correct? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So because I was working at the Nomad, a lot of the chefs there knew, you know, a lot of people in the foundation. So they were like, oh, why don't you just like apply? I had to like write this essay and everything.
Yeah.
So I got accepted and I actually went to Faviken in Sweden for three months. Yeah. So it was like really different than what I was doing. It was still like kind of fine dining, but, you know, pretty different. The food there was really interesting. And I actually didn't really get to do a lot of cooking there as like a stagiaire since I was just there for like 3 months.
Yeah.
You do a lot of like, you know, all the prep stuff with preparing that and everything, setting up the station for the chefs. And I think it was like, I really think it was like at that point I was like, I don't know if fine dining is really what I want to, you know, stick to, because it was just, I was like, what am I doing? You know, it was a really good experience. I met a lot of people that were really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
And, but I just remember this one point, like literally like in the walk-in, like peeling all the leaves off these Brussels sprouts, like for this dish. And like, we had to do it in the walk-in.
Yeah.
Not sure why, but we had to, and we had like our jackets on, like doing it for hours. I'm like, this is crazy.
Was
it at that point I really realized
was like the smaller tasks that like if, when I think back of looking at fine dining and like staging and whatnot for a long time, I wanted to work at Michelin restaurants, and then over the years I was like, well, I want to do more business management, business development, recipe work, stuff like that, which I kind of leaned into during COVID. Even like before COVID, I instead of working at a Michelin restaurant, I went and did a management program with a restaurant group. That being said, I remember I had a point where I was at one of my restaurants I was working at, and I was just like, yeah, like I just kind of want to manage more and like be like just be able to do a little bit more in regards to like learning about the business and whatnot. Was that kind of what drew you to do that, or what was that point for you? I mean, you said the Brussels sprouts, you realize it, but what was it that was making you want to experience something different?
Yeah, so I think like my whole like cooking career in restaurants, I kind of felt like I was trying to experience a bunch of different type of restaurants. So starting from like the first one where, you know, that it was like semi fine dining. And then, I went to this really small restaurant in Brooklyn called Battersby, and I knew like everything that was going on in the restaurant, like all the time. And then like working in Bethany and then the Nomad, which was like a giant hotel. There was like room service, you know, it's just like getting all these different types of experiences. Even doing the thing at Faviken. And even after that, I was like at EMP. And then I was always like just searching for what kind of style of restaurant do I like working in the most. And after that, after Le Madison Park, I went to this restaurant in Brooklyn that was like a all day sort of like cafe place. It was called Norman. They're closed now. And then I went to work at a bakery called Bien Cui here for like six months or so. So I was like just trying to like, you know, get as much experience as I can.
Yeah.
Trying out different places. And then when I was a sous chef at Norman, this all day restaurant, I was working in the morning, and we would do like a bunch of, it was really simple food, like basic stuff like egg sandwiches all the way to like a tasting menu at night. But But yeah, I was a sous chef there. That was like the first time I was a sous chef. And then I started really thinking like, okay, what do I want to do? You know what I mean? And at that point, I've already done a little bit of pasta stuff. I spent a little bit of time in Italy learning how to make pasta, like you were saying, at, in Bologna. And I always have like this little thing in the back of my head, like, oh, it'd be really cool to like do something with pasta. I didn't know exactly what. But yeah, for me, it was really just like trying to find what style of restaurant. It wasn't really much about business stuff, like you were saying, but now it's like very much that, and like that, almost even interests me more than the cooking itself. I do a lot less cooking now also. But yeah, like I was saying, I think I was really just trying to figure out like what kind of restaurant do I like working in the most. And the last restaurant that I worked in, I think was probably like the type that I would have probably stayed in if the pandemic didn't even happen. I don't even know, which was this restaurant called Clover Hill in Brooklyn. I was a sous chef there. We opened for a couple months and then the pandemic hit and we basically closed, unfortunately, but thank God they were able to reopen afterwards. And actually a friend of mine, his name is Charlie, he's the chef there. He got a Michelin star once they reopened. Nice. But yeah, so like, I think that was like the perfect style of restaurant I would like to be in. But once the pandemic hit, I basically just stopped. And then kind of just started to take the pasta business a lot more serious. I was always doing, not always, but even back when I was like at LMS in Park, I would make these like pasta kits, which is basically what Brooklyn Pasta Lab was in the beginning. We would make these pasta kits, which was like pasta, sauce, cheese, bread, and just like deliver it to people, like even in the neighborhood. And I was doing that just like every once in a while. It wasn't like a real, real thing, but you know, like I made the Instagram page and like eventually like started the actual corporation and, you know, slowly like, all right, let's see what I can do here. And then once Clover Hill closed because of the pandemic, I kind of just like went for it.
Yeah. Okay. So you were kind of doing how many, I mean, was it a by how many per week order or was it just like once in a blue moon you would do them when you were at the restaurants?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. When I was at the restaurants, it was just like once in a blue moon.
Okay.
It was just like some people that I knew around the neighborhood, I would like deliver to them. And yeah, it was just, it was mostly like just for fun. I came up with the idea like when I was in Bologna once, I was just like sitting in bed. I was like, damn, that'd be really cool to like, we would always make these kits in restaurants, like to set up your station and whatever.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was really cool if like, you know, you deliver like fresh pasta and like a little thing of sauce. I mean, it's so simple, but it's really, really tasty. And, you know, a little cheese and whatever. And then a little, some instructions just how to do it. And people really liked it. So once the restaurant closed, the pandemic hit and everything, I didn't really do much for a couple months. And then I just posted a menu on Instagram, said, all right, we're making these. It was like a really small menu, couple dishes. We're making these dishes, get your order in by whatever. And slowly just got some orders. Then I did it for the next week and then the next week and then the next week. And then all of a sudden, I'd say like maybe like a month later, it was like Mother's Day. And my wife was like, you know, you have to do like a thing for Mother's Day. So like, I was like, oh, damn. Okay. So then we did like a whole like lasagna thing for like for eight people. And we sold like a bunch of them. And I was like driving around all over delivering these lasagnas. And then I just kind of just kept doing that, honestly. Just did like a weekly menu and we just like delivered locally, and it was literally just me and my wife would like drive around delivering stuff during COVID.
And so what kind of pastas were these that you were, are they extruded or what, where were
the pastas in the beginning? So I started by rolling everything by hand with the mozzarella. That's like how I learned to do it in Bologna. Mm-hmm. And
can you explain that? What you just said?
Yeah, so really classic technique of rolling pasta in Italy, specifically in Bologna, in Emilia Romagna, is making a fresh egg dough, which is made with 00 flour typically and whole eggs, and making it by hand and then rolling it out with a mozzarella, which is just like a really long Italian rolling pin.
Okay.
And when you roll the pasta out with a rolling pin like that, you're able to roll out dough that has a really high hydration compared to, for example, extruded pasta, which is really low hydration. For example, extruded pasta is like 30% water to 100% flour. And when you're rolling out pasta with the mozzarella, you're able to roll out pasta that has like a hydration of like 61, 62%. So what happens is when you knead the dough at such a high hydration, you're able to like capture all these air pockets in the dough, and it becomes like really soft but strong. And when you roll it out with the mozzarella, it's really nice because the pressure that you apply while you're rolling is a lot lighter than you would if you were to like roll through a machine, like a sheeter. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of hard to explain. Like, it all sounds cool, but once you actually do it yourself, it's really, really cool. Like, when you're rolling out the sheet, or they call it sfoglia in Italy, when you're rolling out the sfoglia, you can really see like air pockets like on the sheet of pasta. It's really, really cool. So when you cook it, once you cut it into, let's say, tagliatelle, and you cook it, you just end up with this pasta that's less dense than like a machine rolled pasta. And it's like really light and has a just a nice texture. But after, you know, doing it for quite some time, I'm not like one of those people that's like, oh, you can only like roll out pasta like that. Or because I did do that. Like, I literally did that in the beginning. I would roll out all this pasta and I'm like, this is, first off, it's crazy. Like, it's too busy to do that. Yeah. And I just like, you know, I started to understand it. Like, yes, more hydration, more air pockets in the dough, and then you're rolling it out with light pressure, you get this lighter dough, lighter sheet of pasta. Mm-hmm. So I just tried to take that same concept and, you know, all right, how can we do this same-ish technique and do it with a machine? So, you know, you just try to like gently roll the pasta and not like laminating it like you see a lot of people do. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just, you just get a different texture in the end. And it's just like, it's just unique, you know, it's just a different texture. It's a unique style of pasta. And that's something that like I really focused on when I would be doing these kits, making, like, for example, like you were saying, what kind of pasta we make. We would make like tagliatelle or pappardelle. It was literally like three pastas I would make, or like a filled pasta, like a tortellini.
What are the quantities you were doing, like, when you were busy during the pandemic? How much were you making?
In the beginning, it wasn't like crazy, honestly. In the beginning, it was like maybe I would deliver to like 30 to 50 homes a week. It wasn't too crazy.
Still a good amount of work, though. 50 pounds a pot. Because what is one kit? Was that like 3 pounds?
It was like 300 grams. So almost a pound. It would serve like two people generously. So Yeah, I mean, it definitely it was a lot. Like I had like the wooden tabletop in my apartment, like rolling out the pasta. There was flour everywhere. It was not good. But you know, it was just the way to get started. And I feel like if you're, you know, trying to start something, you just gotta start it. You know, especially if you have to do it in your apartment, you do it.
So then you moved to
So that's
machinery. Are you still in your apartment or do you have a
yeah.
dedicated space now?
No. We have so that September, so May was that Mother's Day that I was talking about. And then I would say October, we got a space, and it took a little bit of time to get like permits and everything, but yeah, we got a space and we started you know, doing everything out of there,
You are
and
you
we were
renting the space at
still
this time?
so we actually it's it was interesting. We actually bought this space in Long Island, and so it's like 40 minutes from Brooklyn. So we're doing all of our production there. We still do all of our production there right now. And yeah, it was just like timing and everything during the pandemic
That's
with,
probably a
you know,
good
real
time to
estate.
buy a
Yeah,
location.
exactly.
Yeah. That's
So
why I asked, because I was like, he could be renting, but it probably would have been a good time to buy if you were able to.
yeah. So I was fortunate enough to, you know, get that space, and took a while with all these permits and everything, but we finally did it. And yeah, we just kept doing these kits at home, and then I was like, how can we like get more, you know, how can we scale it? And I thought of basically a way that we can ship nationwide, where we would make everything, package it in certain containers, and then we would have these styrofoam boxes and ice and everything, and we would ship nationwide. And we did that for so we, it's 2020. Yeah, so I would say we did like each one for like a year. So I did the delivering it myself for like a year, year and a half, and then I did the then I switched that to the shipping of it. And then we did that. And at the same time, I had a friend of mine that I used to work with. He was at a restaurant here in the city, and he was like, "Hey, do you do wholesale?" And I was like, "No, like I don't want to do wholesale. Like I don't want to do this. I want to like focus on my kits and things like that, you know, like direct to consumer." And he just like kept on asking me and asking me, and I'm like, okay, sure. So once a week, I would just like bring a bunch of pasta to him. It wasn't too much. It was like, I don't know, something 50-ish pounds a week. They would like portion it out and then store it in their freezer. Did that for a couple months, and they're like, oh, we're opening up another restaurant. Can you do it? And I was like, okay, sure. So I was doing those two restaurants, and then also doing the nationwide shipping, and that was going well. But then I started to realize that, like, oh wow, this wholesale thing is a lot more, you know, just makes it makes a lot more sense. There's a lot less moving parts. It's literally just
Dropping
even
off
from
the
like an in,
business.
yeah, even just inventory wise, it's like flour and eggs and like water, rather than like, you know, having to cook all these sauces, cheese, bread, pasta, all the packaging. So yeah, I would say like s about like 6 months ago, we sort of made the transition to just doing wholesale, and we had like five restaurants we were doing. We were doing the nationwide, and then we had like five restaurants at that time, and that was like 6 months ago. And now we have about like 25 to 30 restaurants that we service per week. So we just do wholesale now, except we're going to be doing like once a month, just like just fresh pasta by the pound that will ship nationwide. Because I do have some people asking about it.
It's like a website, you know, pasta market to get fresh pasta
exactly.
where they want it.
Yeah. Nice. Just like, hey, this is the, these are the shapes. This is like the month. This is like the one day of the month that we're shipping. Get your order in and then we'll ship.
Nice. So for, and, if you don't mind me asking, yeah. going into the wholesale, how did you, so you had the first client with two restaurants. How did word start spreading? Five restaurants up to almost 30 now. How did that start spreading around?
Yeah, so they had these two Italian restaurants. Well, they had the one, and then they opened up the other one. And that same restaurant group had these three other restaurants that were, it's actually like an Asian concept, and they needed like lo mein, which is basically like pasta. So that's the five restaurants right there. And then basically I just started reaching out to everybody that I knew. And, you know, just also during this whole time, I'm just like trying to learn as much as I can about, you know, the business side of stuff, you know, how to get leads, like how to get new customers and all things like that. So it's just like, you know, reaching out to everybody that I know, doing social media stuff, posting and things like that, literally DMing like chefs and restaurants pages on Instagram. And you'd be surprised, like literally a lot of them do not answer, but some are like, okay, yeah, send me the list, send them the wholesale list, and then bring samples, and then we just talk and figure it out, and kind of just, it literally just is like one at a time at first. And then like the other day I just brought some samples to a restaurant in the Upper East Side, and the chef called me back a couple days later, and he's like, oh, I didn't taste the samples yet because I'm bringing a bunch of my chef friends together and we're all going to taste it. And I'm like, okay. And then they all tasted it, and like now three of them from that group want to start to sign on with us. So like it's really just like, it's kind of like a mix. I don't have one thing, like one exact like reason why it's kind of been spreading, but it's just a mix of like, you know, people telling people, me reaching out. It's a lot of, honestly, it's a lot of like me reaching out, like literally like cold DMing chefs. and like it's a good product, and it's a really good service too. Like we you know, we deliver twice a week currently. I want to add another day in the future, but
yeah,
right now we just deliver twice a week, and it works out really well for the chefs, and it saves them a bunch of time. And like all I'm hearing from these guys are like, oh, labor, like
yeah,
it's a lot of labor on their end. And even if they don't, let's say, switch over their whole menu to us, maybe they just get, you know, 50%
couple shapes
of their shapes from us.
Oh yeah, well, like, do you find more extruded than fresh, like handmade?
It's a lot of extruded, so and I kind of push that because
probably a gap a lot of restaurants have, because they might not have an extruding machine, or it might take a little bit longer.
Yeah, exactly. So like finding like, oh, fresh, just a bunch of different fresh shapes that are extruded. A lot of restaurants don't have extruders, and if they do want to get one, some of them just like don't even want to mess around with it. They're just like, give me the stuff. Like I had one client, he's just like, I'm tired of making it, and it's just really hard to train people, and then for some reason if they leave something, training the next person, there's a lot of
it's almost a full-time job for a restaurant sometimes if you're making fresh pasta, like that's a prep cook, like that's one person
exactly, that's like a full-time. I was speaking with another chef the other day, he was telling me that Like, all right, if we sign on with you, you know, they get, not that they get rid of two prep people, but they can, you know, reallocate their
time. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's like 80 hours a week that they were spending. And it's a lot. Like, yeah.
See that point real quick. It's also interesting how the National Restaurant Association just put out job reporting for November. And while we're, for the food industry as a whole, is back to pre-pandemic levels, full service restaurants are down over 200,000 workers still. So they've been allocated into different like regions. So it is, yeah. I mean, it's probably much needed for the businesses you're serving. So,
yeah. Wow. That's crazy. But yeah, it's a mixed thing. It's like labor. It's also, you know, just convenient for the chefs. A lot of them also don't have a lot of space. And yeah, it's just, thank God it's been working out. And that's why I've just been, all right, focusing on that. And
congrats on the growth. That's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
What, I'm curious. So obviously starting to ship, and we'll go into shapes and what you make now in a second. Obviously it'll vary by restaurant, but, sampling wise, I mean, you bring these pastas in, and is there a recommended way for the chefs to sample them? Or has there been a way that you found gets the best, I guess, sold amount of like people on board? Like, how do you recommend them sample the pasta?
Yeah. So,
I'm sure they all have their ways of cooking pasta, but
exactly. Yeah, I know. And it's funny. Everyone's like so particular too. But basically I'll take a look at their menu, or they'll just tell me like what they're interested in. And I'll just literally give them what they're already serving. And, then they'll taste it and see how it holds up. Also our egg pastas, so like our rolled pastas, it's made with a flour from like the north of Italy. It's from a mill called Molino Passini, and their 00 flour, for some reason, it just like stays super super vibrant, like the yellow color. A lot of times you'll see a lot of pasta dough start to turn gray even over like literally like one day. But this really holds up like super well, and it's really, really nice. So a lot of them are like super surprised sometimes with that. Like, wow. I tell them like, let it sit in the walk-in for a couple of days, like see how you like it after a couple of days, you know, see how it holds up for you. Cause you know, everybody's walk-in is different humidity, temperature. and then also some chefs like to either just portion it all up and freeze it. It's really up to the chef and also the amount of space that they have as well. But yeah, it's really just me going in there, bringing them what they typically already have on their menu. And if they're interested in some other stuff, I definitely bring that. And yeah, we kind of just go from there. Sometimes there's a little like, oh, can you make this spaghetti like longer or something? I'm like very open to, you know, to working with them how they want the pasta to be.
Yeah, you mentioned lo mein earlier. Obviously, that's a one off. What are some of the shapes that you really that are requested a lot?
A lot of people actually ask for filled pastas, but that's something that I'm not. We don't offer any filled pastas, and I'm not really planning on doing that anytime soon because it's a whole nother like ball game. I'm just trying to like really focus
on safety, right?
Yeah, it's, and also the production on our end. Yeah, consistency, and then delivering it too. Keeping it like cold where it doesn't like start to get all like mushy and stuff. So it's that stuff's tough, but a lot of times it's just like, no, I don't do any filled pastas, and they're fine with it. But we do focus on extruded pastas, mostly like spaghetti, linguine, rigatoni, fusilli calabrese, bucatini, mafaldina. Yeah, we have a bunch of different shapes. Pacchetti. Yeah, and then I do offer, we have some rolled shapes as well. Actually, when I was trying to figure out, like, I was like, damn, I'm going to have to make, like, literally 100 pounds of pappardelle with like an egg dough. Like, how am I going to roll that out? So I figured out a way to do it with, you know, like a sheeter, like people would use like in a bakery. They would use for like the reversible sheeter that goes back and forth. So yeah, I've never seen anybody roll out pasta with that, but it works out really, really well. It's really, really cool. Yeah. So I got one of those and,
it's cool.
Yeah. That really helps a lot. It's really cool because as you kind of grow, especially because we do a lot of extruded pastas, it's just like, all right, we need another extruder, or we need just like a bigger one, or, you know what I mean? So actually, as you get busier, it actually, that production side of things kind of gets a little easier.
It flows a little, because your time investment in setting all that up is still the same, whether it's one, I mean, slightly more with each extruder, but there's still a time investment in setting up, making ingredients, washing down and all that. So once you get into the groove of things, you want to just keep making more.
Yeah, exactly. And then once you're also able to order more flour, you get better pricing. So like,
is it just you making it now, or do you have any employees?
Yeah. So right now it's actually still me doing all of the pasta, and I'm able to do that because of the machines. Like, it's a lot. Like today, this morning, we just made like 500 pounds of pasta, and it was a lot.
You're working 7 days a week?
So in my head, I basically work all the time, but so we do, I do like Monday, Tuesday. So Monday is production, and then Tuesday is delivery. We also do some production and then delivery. I have delivery drivers. So that's like a huge thing that saves me a ton of time. In the beginning, when I was doing like those five restaurants, I was delivering it. But I have these drivers now, and that is like literally a lifesaver. It saves a ton of time, so I can just focus on, you know, making the pasta and also just getting new customers. So it's like Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday it's like I do a lot of like computer stuff, and then Thursday, Friday is the same as Monday, Tuesday. It's like production then delivery. Ideally I want to add another delivery day, just because it'd be, you know, it's just better for the chefs, you know. So just trying to get some more clients, and then once I kind of hit this threshold, I'll definitely add that, and it'll be better for the chefs. And then this way, you know, I'm looking for somebody to help with production, but that's like a part-time thing, because we do only do production like two, three, four days a week. So it's kind of like a part-time thing, but that's why I do want to eventually get it to like another day. So then it's like, hey, we can get like full-time, you know, dedicated team.
Yeah.
But right now it's like just manageable. I actually ordered another pasta extruder the other day, so that should be coming in like a month or so. Yeah. So things are going well, thank God.
Awesome. It's good to hear, man. It's really awesome. And the reason why I wanted to have you on the show is why you're transitioning to wholesale. I think it's really cool that, you know, your experience and kind of seeing everything going on. Have you been able to go to one of these restaurants, sit down and enjoy a plate of your own pasta?
Yeah, I'm actually going. I haven't actually yet, but I'm going. A friend of mine is coming in, I think next week, and we're going to one of the restaurants, checking it out. I think it'll be good though.
That's awesome, man. Well, thanks for sharing the story on that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
What, for yourself, like looking forward to the future, I mean, are you kind of at your limit on what you can do, or do you have room where, if you're like, what, like, do you still have like 20, 30% more that you could take on before you want to like maybe bring someone on, or are you doing pretty well just doing it yourself right now?
No, I want to really, because I mean,
I know you mentioned earlier, like growing it, but like if there's a timeline for, or a goal for yourself, would that be sooner or later?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as possible, getting a pasta production person. I have like an ad out right now on Culinary Agents.
Oh, nice.
So I'm trying to get that. Like, it's a little crazy right now with, you know, the holidays and everything, but
yeah,
hoping, you know, January we get someone in and start training them up. And my plan is literally to just, you know, get someone in there, teach them, also do it with them, and then with the time that I get back, just do a lot more you know, reaching out, mm-hmm. content, just doing whatever I can do to market and advertise Brooklyn Pasta, okay. basically, because I'm just seeing how. Yeah.
No, just a quick note on the if anyone's in the New York City market, obviously let you know. Yeah. But also, I'll off podcast, I'll send you a Use First Jobs. They sponsor the newsletter, and they're in New York City as well, and they have a good reach. But anyway, you were saying, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
What was I saying?
Future plans.
Yes.
Instagram content.
Yeah. So yeah, all that. I just basically want to get back my time to just focus on, you know, growing the clientele, and you know, I'm getting really good feedback, thankfully, from all these chefs, and I really think it could be, you know, something pretty big. And okay. You know, I think it just takes time, but like I said, hopefully in January we get somebody to start helping me out, and then we take it from there.
Cool. Awesome, man.
Yeah.
What is your favorite pasta shape?
Yeah, I really like tagliatelle. I mean, I like a lot of different shapes.
I kind of guessed that you were going to say that. I don't know why. I had you've mentioned it a couple times, so it was like maybe he has a thing for tagliatelle. So.
Yeah, I think maybe just because, like, my time in Bologna.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like whenever I think of rolling out pasta, it's just like, okay, we're going to roll up a sheet of pasta, and we're just going to cut it into a tag. And it's just, like, that's what I always, like, think of. But another shape that maybe it's a little underrated, but. That I really love is peachy, which is like, it's like a thicker pasta, like, okay, think of like spaghetti, but like thick, and it's like hand rolled with like a semolina and water dough.
Yeah.
And it's from Tuscany, and my wife and I, we actually had it on our wedding night. We got married in Italy, and that was one of the dishes, and yeah, it's just like really, really good. I just love like the chew, and like I really like these like thicker pastas. I know it's funny because it said tagliatelle, which is like a really thin pasta, but it's like the tag. And then also, yeah, I would say like peachy is really, really good. Even there's so many cavatelli. Yeah. There's too many,
nice.
But, good. But yeah. Yeah. They're really nice.
It's awesome, man. Well, it's good to hear on all that. Well, if you want to share kind of where people can find you on Instagram for a wholesale site, if you want to share all that, I think that'd be a good time to do it.
Yeah. So you can find us at Brooklyn Pasta Lab on Instagram. We're pretty active on there. We also have a YouTube channel at Brooklyn Pasta Lab. And our website is brooklynpastalab.com. And you'll see there's like a wholesale or nationwide shipping. And definitely, it's just super simple. Fill out a simple form, tell us about your restaurant, and then I'll get back to you.
Sounds good. Yeah. And I'll share all that in the description. Obviously, go check out the Instagram. It's super dope. I've been following along for quite a few.
Thank you.
Maybe a couple of years now, or maybe a year or so. It's been a minute. So it's been cool to see you grow, man. Really, really impressed. Like, I think it's so awesome. You know, someone who's kind of left restaurants and did something different. It's very interesting to see. And I think, you know, Line Cook Thoughts being the name of the podcast, it's cool to see someone who kind of went from cook to business owner. So kudos to you and congrats on the success.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Cool.
Really appreciate it.
Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, Michael.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks again for listening. That was the episode with Michael Pini from Brooklyn Pasta Lab. Be sure to go to linecookthoughts.com to check out the newsletter. Also, if you're listening on Spotify or Apple, please leave a review. And go to brooklynpastalab.com in the description of this episode to check out Michael's work, especially if you're a restaurant owner or worker in the New York City area and think you can use some of his pasta. Big thanks to Michael again. Thank you all. Hope you all have a great new year, and I'll see you on the next Line Cook Thoughts podcast.